Great to be with you again. Great to look out at your beautiful smiling faces. Welcome to the last installment of The Way to a Winning Attitude, our study of the book of Philippians. And this morning's topic, the secret to a contented attitude. I don't know if there's a topic that is more relevant to our times than this topic of contentment, because we are living probably in the most utterly discontent culture that has been in the United States, discontent with not only what we have, but even who we are. And so this morning, I want to take you to Scripture again. This is Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read just a portion of that last little bit of Scripture here, beginning at verse 10. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, you can follow along by way of your Bible. You could follow along by way of your YouVersion Bible on your telephone, or you could just listen, but this is God's word for us today. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is like to be in need, and I know what it is like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am always looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. observed that our society is marked by inextinguishable discontent. What do you think that is? Why do you think we are so discontented with who we are, with what we have in our culture today? I've thought about it a little bit, and I've got some thoughts on it, some things that I think fuel our discontent. For example, I think that discontent is epidemic in our world today, especially in the United States, because despite all of our progress, all of our advances, we find ourselves more unfulfilled, more dissatisfied than ever before in our history. It's interesting, isn't it? We live in such an affluent society. We are so blessed in so many ways, and yet we have not found the contentment, the peace that so often eludes us. I think that daily we are bombarded in our culture today with internet messages and television commercials designed to make us feel discontent with what we have. Make us feel as if our wants are really needs, so that we go out and buy more, or we go out and buy better. We're constantly getting the message that you deserve so much more, so much better, right? And then the discontent of our culture has escalated. For decades, we have seen our culture fixate on youth and beauty. And so many people have felt inadequate, depressed. And yet our discontent, I think, has reached a whole new level, so that we are not only unhappy with, discontent, depressed by what we don't have, we are also overwhelmed by our discontent in actually who we are. And so we have people in our culture literally trying to recreate themselves. It's happening in our culture today. Discontent has reached a new high. People are so dissatisfied with what they have, and even, get this, even who they are, that they would pursue every means to change how God created them. And our quest for better and for more only fuels our discontent. Now, that sounds pretty depressing, so let me get to the good news. Here's the good news, all right? The good news on that is that Philippians has a relevant and a positive word for us this morning about contentment, where Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. He learned. He says, I've learned the secret. Which is to say that Paul understood that it takes practice. It takes a process. It doesn't come naturally to us to be content. It doesn't happen overnight. It is something that over time, one day at a time, we can move in a direction where we can learn, like Paul, the secret of being content. And I think it is obviously a secret to a lot in our culture. We don't know it. We don't know the secret. The good news, by Paul's words here, is it means that you and I can learn. Just like Paul learned the secret of contentment, it means that you and I can learn. We can learn this. We can learn that no matter what our circumstances, God can give us this inner peace, this rest from striving that comes from being in a right relationship with Him and trusting God to be in control of everything, no matter what our circumstances. So here are the lessons I think Paul learned, and here are lessons for you and me today. Lesson number one is simply this. Learn to rejoice in all your circumstances in God's providence. Learn to rejoice in God's providence. Now, I know a number of you are asking, what does that mean? What does providence mean? Well, I'm glad you're asking. I looked it up. I did some studying this week on God's providence, and God's providence is God's caring intervention in our lives, guiding us and assuring us in our journey that His purpose and plan for our lives will be accomplished. In short, it means simply this, that understand that God is in control. God's providence. Rejoice in that. That when life feels absolutely out of control, rejoice in the fact, but thank God, God is in control. Paul says, I rejoice in this. I rejoice in this. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned all along, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. Note that Paul rejoiced not in his circumstances. He did not rejoice in his circumstances, which is, to be thankful for, to be rejoicing because of his circumstances. That would mean that Paul would be a little bit masochistic, right? I just love these terrible circumstances I'm in. I just rejoice. God, keep bringing these terrible circumstances. No, he's not saying that. Look at it, what it says here. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. In other words, Paul did not rejoice because of his circumstances. He rejoiced because of the Lord. He rejoiced in the fact that while his circumstances were challenging, he rejoiced in the fact that the Lord was in control. Discontented people tend to attach their contentment to their circumstances. They imagine that if their circumstances would change, if they would only change, if I just had more, if I just had better, then I would be content. What they have virtually done is attach their happiness, attach their contentment to circumstances, so that if circumstances are going well, they're favorable circumstances, oh, I'm content. But if things aren't going well, and these days in our culture, in our world, things aren't going tremendously well, right? If you have attached your contentment to that wagon of circumstances, guess what happens when things aren't going well? You're brought down. And your circumstances end up controlling you. In fact, I want you to picture that what happens is that you begin to live under your circumstances, under the control of your circumstances. The word circumstances, just think it with me on it. Circumstances, the core of that word, circumstances, means circum, around. The things that are going around you. You allow the things around you to overwhelm you, and you live under those circumstances. Do you remember the circumstances, the context for Paul's writing of this letter? Do you remember Paul's circumstances when we began this about 3 months ago? Chapter 1, Paul was letting folks in Philippi know that he was doing okay, that it was well with his soul, but he said, you know what, here's the real deal, I'm in prison. Paul was, in fact, a prisoner. He was chained to a Roman soldier. He was confined in some small quarters in the city of Rome. He lost the freedom to kind of move about he once had. He probably existed on a bare subsistence of food, probably not bread and water, but pretty basic stuff. I mean, his circumstances were not the best. Nevertheless, Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. He understood that circumstances are a poor master if you want to arrive at contentment. He refused to live under his circumstances, but instead chose to live above his circumstances. Here's the lesson. Learn not to live under your circumstances, but learn to live above your circumstances. Don't give so much power to your circumstances that your circumstances control you. That your degree of fulfillment in life, happiness in life, contentment in life is all dependent on this master of yours called circumstances. Paul refused to allow his awful circumstances to diminish his contentment. He says, I've learned that even in the situation I find myself, I have learned how to have a peace of mind, how to stop striving and driving myself crazy, how to be content. And it is that I live above my circumstances. I look to God and I rejoice in the fact that when my life feels out of control, I know that God is in control. You can have a peace, you see, when you know that no matter what you're going through, you know that God is in control. And God is not only in control, He's watching over you, and He is working on your behalf. He is working out His plan in your life, His purpose in your life, and nothing in this world will frustrate God's ultimate purpose for you and plan for your life. You can take a deep breath and say, this is crazy what I'm going through. And some of what you're going through, some of what you are having to face right now, it is really hard. It is really crazy stuff. But there is someone who's in control. And Paul chose to rejoice in the one who was in control. He chose to rejoice in God's providence. God's providence over his life. You see, things can feel so out of control, but here's the promise of God's word. It is that God will take all things. This is Romans chapter 28, by the way. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. God can take your circumstances and God can work them for your good. In other words, you want an illustration of this? Just remember Paul's context, back his words back in Philippians chapter 1:12. He's told the Philippian believers, I'm in prison, but immediately here's what he said to them. This is verse 12 of Philippians 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Before you become all distraught by the fact that I'm in prison, understand that God has a plan here. God is in charge. And I believe, here's what he says, I believe that what has happened to me is actually, God is going to use it to serve the advancement of the gospel. He was not crushed by his circumstances, but believed that God was working out his plan in his circumstances, and in this he rejoiced. Sometimes the things that we think that things are falling apart, they're really things that are beginning to fall together for God's purpose. You may be here this morning and say, my life just feels like it's falling apart. That may be how you're feeling. That may be true feelings. True feelings, not necessarily true. What may be true is, in fact, things may be falling together for what God wants to do in your life in this chapter. Paul believed this, and his last words to us in this letter, this is at the very end, verse 22 of chapter 4, he writes, all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Now you could read something like that and just pass by it, but I want to point something out. There's a little message he's sending to the Philippian Christians. He's saying, understand that there's a greeting coming from you, and the greeting is coming to you from God's people, God's believers who are in Caesar's very palace. What he's saying is, God, in fact, has been at work. My time in prison here, my time of incarceration here, I've been chained to this soldier who I've been telling about Jesus, and guess what? They're people who, because of my being with them, in prison maybe, but I'm with them, telling them about Jesus, they are now believers. He never allowed his circumstances to overwhelm him. He never lived his life under his circumstances, but chose to live his life over his circumstances, believing that God was in control, that God was at work for him, and in this he rejoiced. He rejoiced in God's providence. So lesson number one is learn to rejoice in God's providence. Number two, lesson two is learn to rely in all your circumstances on God's power. Learn to rely on God's power. The Apostle Paul wrote, I can do, and this is in the context of him being in prison, this is the context of this discussion about contentment. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've told you often over the last 3 months that this is my life scripture. Oftentimes when I'm asked to sign a book or I'm asked to sign someone's Bible, I'll write my name, Brian Harple, but I'll also put Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My life verse. Paul found contentment not in the things around him, but he found contentment in the Christ who was in him. And that's a choice that we can all make. We can give more attention to the circumstances around us. And sometimes I listen to even believers who talk about all their circumstances and rarely talk about Christ in them. It's choosing where you look for your power. Whether you think that if I give more attention to my circumstances. If I keep working on my circumstances, then maybe I'll feel better about myself. I'll feel more content. Maybe I'll feel empowered. Paul said, no. Here's where I find my power. Here's where I find my strength. My strength is found in Christ Jesus. For in him, I can do all things. I can't tell you how many times I have said this. I have prayed this when I have faced challenges in life. Lord, I don't know if I can by myself, but I can. I can. I can do all things through you because you're my strength. Christ so often provides us that kind of strength when we face the real challenges of life. I don't know how to explain where it comes from or how it comes on me. All I know is that when I turn to him, when I rely upon him fully, he empowers. He infuses me with power, with strength to do things that moments ago I felt I couldn't do. One of the unfavorable experiences of our life has revolved a little bit around one of the real joys of our life, one of the real gifts to us, and that is the gift of a grandson, Evan, who's here this morning. Good morning, Evan. You probably have heard about Evan every Sunday, right? Yeah. He's been listening, too, by way of the internet. And he recognizes Papa's voice. And I told him I was going to tell a little bit of his story this morning, just a little bit. You probably know already that Evan suffered 3 strokes at his birth, resulting in him being hemiplegic, which is affected on his right side around things like his use of his hand and his right foot, leg. He wears a brace today, and he does therapy every single week, working hard to get stronger and stronger. As well, he was diagnosed to be on the autism spectrum, which presents some real challenges related to stimuli, especially noises, so that the music was just a little bit loud this morning. While I enjoyed thoroughly the rock and roll, it might have really rocked him a little too much. But Evan is learning. And this is what makes me so happy about Evan. Evan is learning about the power of prayer. And Evan is learning about Jesus and how Jesus can give him power. So that when Evan is facing challenges, Evan has this little mantra that if you're close to him, you can hear him say. This will happen sometimes when I'm needed to drive him with my daughter, the two of us taking him to school, because that is high sensory. There's some real anxiety even now as he goes to school. And he'll be in the back seat, and I'll hear him. And what will you say, Evan? I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And Evan is learning at even at his young age, that God again and again shows his power and strength. And Evan can do it. Paul rejoiced in the providence of God, but he also relied on the power of God. Because sometimes life and its circumstances can feel so crazy and out of control. It can almost feel like we're going through a storm and we wonder if we will survive. And I think it's one reason Jesus gave us this story. There are many stories that didn't make it into the Bible. There are so many stories about Jesus that didn't make it into the Bible. This one did. It's in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. And as they crossed the lake, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat and the winds blew, But Jesus, in the midst of that storm, was at peace. He, in fact, was sleeping. The disciples, fearing for their lives, went to Jesus and woke him up and said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And Jesus responded, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" And then he got up, and Jesus rebuked the winds and the waters, and suddenly there was peace. The disciples were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Understand that when you face the storms of life, if your circumstances feel like a storm right now, God is with you in the storm. And he offers power to you to get through. Come to learn that in your circumstances, if God has brought you to it, God will bring you through it. Understand that if God has brought you to something and he's taking you through, he'll bring you all the way through it. Trust him. We're not exempt from storms. You're never going to hear from me that if you come to Jesus, if you follow Jesus, life will be wonderful because you'll have no storms. Your circumstances all of a sudden will be favorable. What I'll assure you is this, that he comes to you in the Spirit and he takes residence up in you so that no matter what storm you face, you will have the storm stiller with you. So that if he brought you to it, have full confidence. He'll bring you through it. Trust him. Lean into his power. Pray, Jesus, I trust you. I trust that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Practice. Learn to lean into God's power in your life. It is present and resident in you. But so often, while Jesus is in us, we're still trying to work out things in our own strength and our own power. Rely on his power. Learn to live in his power. So lesson one, rejoice in God's providence. Number two, rely on God's power. Third, learn to rest in all your circumstances in God's provision. Understand that contentment is not found in what we have or what we don't have. In fact, Paul says, you know what? I've learned to live both when I've been without and when I've had plenty. You see, Paul never looked to his circumstances. Even when things were favorable, even when he had plenty, he never looked to his circumstances for what he really needed in life, and that is God's presence and God's contentment, peace. Life, whether it was full or whether it was scarcity for him, was the same. I've got Jesus. In fact, some of us have believed the lie that if we just have more, if we just had a little bit more, we would find ourselves satisfied. We would feel so much better about our life if we just had more. Paul, speaking to a young pastor Timothy, said these words, "Godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have been brought into this world, we brought nothing into this world, so we can take nothing out of this world either. And if we have food and covering with these, we should be content. But those who want to get rich fall into the temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many, many pangs." Trusting God as our provider
is a discipline. So easily we can be drawn into wanting more or wanting better. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have to be rich to be envious and greedy. You could have little here today and still be very envious and greedy. Envy and greedy rob us of contentment. Paul learned just to be thankful for what God provided. He understood that his provision oftentimes came through other people. And God does that all the time, doesn't he? Have you experienced that in your own life? That sometimes God's provision, God has provided through his people. They kind of just become generous. This is one of the wonderful things about being part of a church like this. My wife and I, we've shared with you, we've counted this our church over the last 3 months, and we love sharing in the offering because we want to be generous, and we trust that God will bless some people in the life of this church and this community because of our little bit of generosity and your generosity and all of us together. God can use all that. But Paul learned to be content. He learned to be grateful no matter what God provided. Do not look for contentment in your circumstances. Paul rested in God's provision for his life, realizing that God always provided for him. And he wanted to remind the Philippian believers that God would do the same for them. And I think he wants to remind us this morning by saying this, "And my God will meet all of your needs as well, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Just learn. We're coming into a season right now of Thanksgiving. The entire year ought to be a time of Thanksgiving for believers like us. We have been blessed above and beyond what we deserve. God has blessed us. Every single person here, God has blessed you. If you don't think so, come with me to a place like Cuba. Come with me to a place like Thailand. Do you understand that according to world standards, all of us are blessed immeasurably? We're on the wealthy side of the scales with respect to how other people live in the world. People who live 10 family members in a single small room, dirt floor room. God has blessed us. Part of the learning for us is learning to be grateful while trusting God to provide. I read a story about a Jewish man in Hungary who went to his rabbi one day and complained, "Life is unbearable. There's nine of us, rabbi, living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered, after thinking for a moment, "Here's what I'm going to suggest. Take your goat into the room with you." The man was incredulous. "What do you mean? Rabbi said, "Take your goat in your room, keep him in your house for 1 week, and then come back." The man came back a week later looking even more distraught than before. "Rabbi, we can't stand it. We can't stand it. The goat is filthy." The rabbi said, "Go home now and let the goat out and come back in a week." A week later, the man returned, radiant and exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every moment of it now. There is no goat. Only nine of us, only nine." Perspective, which is attitude, isn't it? How do you see your life? Do you see that you have been blessed? The fact that we are in such a comfortable place even here this morning, that we're going to go back to comfortable places, that if there was a medical emergency, we could go to doctors, that we would not, we do not have to worry about where the next meal is coming from. God has blessed us, provided for us. And here's this promise. Paul says, my God will provide for all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He'll provide for what you need. Just remember, he will provide for your need, not your greed. Your need, not our greed. So it's learning. It's learning that while circumstances can be challenging, I will choose to rejoice in the fact that God's in control. I'll rejoice in God's providence. And I'm going to rely upon his strength in Jesus to bring me through, knowing that what God brings me to, he will bring me through. And then I will rest. I will rest in the fact that God is my provider, that he will provide for all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your word to us about where we find our contentment. And this morning, I just pray here this morning that we would just continue to enjoy your presence in this place, that you would bring to mind the ways that you have watched over us and how you have empowered us and how you have provided for us, and that we would find ourselves, as we conclude worship today, incredibly thankful. Thankful for you. We rejoice in you regardless of our circumstances. We are so thankful for you, and we rejoice. We pray this, ask this, all in Jesus' name. Amen.